listening to realclearduff.com. Today's shiur has been dedicated by Michael Friedman, and he has made the dedication Eloy Nishmas, his grandmother, on her yahrzeit, which is today. Her name was Brindel Bas Rabbi Yisrael Meir. Hashem Yinakim Dama. She perished in the Holocaust, a victim of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. The Torah learning of this shiur should be a schus to provide a continuous aliyah for the neshama. We're on Kuf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, in the middle of the page, about 16 lines down, the second word on the line where it says Tanan Hasam. We've learned about the prohibition of Losisov Nachla. The Torah says you shall not cause land of one Shevet to pass into a different Shevet by marrying outside of the tribe. Specifically, the Torah says that a woman should marry within her own tribe, meaning that in a situation where she is, let's say, the only daughter, so she stands to inherit her father's land of her tribe. So in that case, if she marries somebody from a different tribe, her husband or son could very well inherit her, and then the land will pass into a different tribe. Where today begins with the Mishnah in Masechtas Tainus that will refer to this halacha. In Tanan Hasam, we learn there in Masechtas Tainus, Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. When Shimon ben Gamliel said, Lo hayu yomim tovim li Yisrael kachamisha asar ba'av ukiyom kippurim. There's no greater yomtiv, no greater festival for Yisrael than, first of all, the 15th of Av. The 15th of Av, first of all, is cause for great celebration, as will be explained, and the day of Yom Kippur. Even though, of course, Yom Kippur is a solemn day of introspection, but it's also a day of great joy at the opportunity of kapara and slicha, forgiveness. If we use it right, we can literally wipe away our sins, get a clean slate. And Shimon Gamliel says, it was designated that on these days, Shebohen Benos Yushalayim Yotzos Beklei Lovin Sheulen, the daughters of Yushalayim should go out wearing borrowed white garments. All of them specifically had borrowed garments, even a very wealthy girl, Shelo Levayesh Mishenlo, so as not to embarrass those women who couldn't afford their own garments, so they had to borrow, in order that they shouldn't be singled out. Everybody had borrowed garments, so nobody could tell who was more needy. So no one be embarrassed. And they went out in these white garments, and they would dance in the vineyards. The purpose of this was for Shidduchim. Through this public display, would encourage matches to be made, and many couples became united in marriage. The Mishnah is clearly saying that Tezvav Ba'av and Yom Kippur are special Yom Tovim. So Mar says, Bishlam Yom Kippurim. I understand why Yom Kippur is a great Yom Tov, for it's Yom Slicha Mechila. It is a great day of forgiveness, opportunity to do tshuva and be forgiven. Yom Shenitnu Baluchos Achronos. The historical basis of why Yom Kippur is a great day of Slicha Mechila was because it was on this day, the 10th of Tishrei, that Moshe Rabbeinu's efforts to achieve forgiveness for the Egel HaZav, of course the sin of the golden calf, forced Moshe Rabbeinu to break the first Luchos, and Moshe Rabbeinu then embarked on a mission to achieve forgiveness, in which he was successful eventually, and this culminated in, on the 10th of Av, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second pair of Luchos that he had been instructed to carve out. Hashem had forgiven the people on the 10th of Av. So forever, 10th of Av is designated as a day of Slicha u'Mechila. It is always an opportunity to achieve forgiveness, to be pardoned for our sins. So clearly Yom Kippur is a great Yom Tov. El Chamisha Seba'av Maihi. Gemara wonders, why is the 15th of Av a Yom Tov? What happened on the 15th of Av? It became designated as a Yom Tov, and it's a very appropriate day to focus on making Shidduchim. So the Gemara explains it's related to this mitzvah that we've been discussing in our parak, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lavo Zebazeh. The 15th of Av was special because it was on this day that the Torah leaders concluded that for all generations following the first generation of Bnei Yisrael, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, that from now on the prohibition that a woman who inherits property can't marry to a different tribe is no longer applicable. And it was now permitted for tribes to intermarry. It was not an issue. And of course, that was a very positive development in terms of ensuring that the woman be able to find her match. Now that the options were so much broadened. So this is first of all a cause for celebration, and second of all, made sense to designate that as a day to focus on making marriage matches. The Gemara elaborates how they arrived at this conclusion. My darush. How did the sages expound the pasuk to arrive at this conclusion? The Gemara explains, it's as we said yesterday, because the passage that discusses this prohibition starts with the word zehadavar. This is the matter that Hashem commanded, and the Torah goes on to explain the prohibition that at least applied in general, that a woman cannot marry outside of her tribe if she is inheriting property. Since it says zehadavar, which is a terminology that implies a limitation on the prohibition that follows, therefore, the understanding is, davar zeh lo yehi noeg el bedor zeh. Torah is saying here that this matter, this prohibition, only applies in this generation, meaning the generation of people that entered Eretz Yisrael when they initially received and divided the land of Eretz Yisrael. So those people had a prohibition not to intermarry to limit the effect of land transferring out into a different shevet. But the prohibition did not apply to subsequent generations. The Gemara tells us that there are actually several other reasons to rejoice on the 15th of Av. There are other very positive things that happen on this day. Rabbi Bar Barchanam Rabbi Yochanan says the 15th of Av was also Yom Shehutar Shevet Binyamin Lavo Bakahal. It was the day that it was determined that the people of Shevet Binyamin could once again marry the other members of Klal Yisrael. And what is this referring to? The Gemara explains, Dechsiv, as the Pasuk in Shoftim writes, Ish Yisrael nishba ba mitzvah leimar. Each and every Yisrael swore in mitzvah after the tragic incident of Pelegesh Begiva. The Navi there relates how a series of events starting with a concubine in Giva sparked a civil war between Shevet Binyamin and the rest of Bnei Yisrael. There were many losses on both sides. Binyamin ended up being defeated. Each man in Yisrael took an oath. They swore saying, Ish mimenu lo yitein bito lebinyamin leisha. No man from among us shall give his daughter to a person from Shevet Binyamin as a wife. And this oath resulted in a crisis, for it created the real danger that the tribe of Binyamin would go extinct. For there were so few survivors left in the civil war, and they couldn't marry anybody else in Bnei Yisrael. So this was a real crisis. And the Gemara says, on the 15th of Av, it was determined that they could marry people from the other Shvatim once again, meaning that all of the people who had been part of the original oath had died. So it wasn't relevant anymore, and now they can intermarry with the other Shvatim. My Darush. How did the sages expound the above pasuk to conclude that it only applied to the original people who took the oath? The answer is because the language of the oath said, Mimenu, no man from among us shall marry into Shevet Binyamin, velo mibaneinu, but this does not apply to our children. Our children may give their daughters to Shevet Binyamin. And another positive thing that occurred on the 15th of Av, Rav Dimi bar Yosef, Rav Nachman, says, another reason to celebrate this day is because it was Yom Shekolubo Mese Midbar. This was the day when they realized that the people, the men traveling in the Midbar from the generation of the Meraglim, were no longer dying. For Hashem had decreed, after the sin of the Meraglim, that over the course of 40 years traveling in the Midbar, that generation, the males over 20, would die in the Midbar. And the Mishpat brings the eerie medrash that relates specifically what happened, how every Tisha B'Av, the men would have to dig a grave and go lie in there to sleep. Next morning, they would announce, let the living separate from the dead. Those who had made it to the night would emerge, but thousands would not. This would happen year after year on Tisha B'Av, of course, the fateful night, when the Meraglim brought their slanderous report and the people cried and gave up. They lost their faith. And so this happened every year on Tisha B'Av. Until the 40th year, they did the same thing, and yet the next morning, every person emerged from the grave they had dug. They thought, it must be a mistake, maybe we miscalculated when Tisha B'Av is supposed to fall out. So they would repeat the process night after night until the 15th of Av, when the full moon appeared on the 15th, the middle of the month. They realized their calculations were not incorrect, and that apparently they had received some relief from the decree that this year they would all make it through Tisha B'Av. Hashem had stopped the decree a little early. The Gemara says this was especially a reason to celebrate the Omer Mar. Mar said, Ad shelo kolu meisei midbar. As long as this decree did not stop, as long as it was still ongoing, that each year Tisha B'Av, more people of that generation would die. Turning to Amid Bey's Lo Haya Dibur Im Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the special, very direct form of communication that he had before the decree as a result of the sin of the Meraglim. Of course, there was still a very direct form of communication, but it wasn't on the same level that it had been previously. And this situation continued until the people of that generation stopped dying in the Midbar, which, as we explained, was on the 15th of Av. And we see this correlation between the decree of the Mesa Midbar and this special Dibur between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu, which of course meant not only a benefit for Moshe Rabbeinu, it reflected, it impacted on the entire people. The closer Hashem was with Moshe Rabbeinu, the closer that meant Hashem was with Klal Yisrael in general. We see how the two, the decree of the Mesa Midbar and this special connection, and there's a correlation between them, Shenemar, for it says in Parashas Devarim, Vayhi ka'asher tamu kolan she'a milchama lamus mikerav ha'am. First, the pasuk relates how it was when all of the men of war, like the age where they can go to war, stopped dying in the midst of the nation. And the very next pasuk says, Vayidaber Hashem Eli Lemar. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem spoke to me, saying. This word Eli has a connotation here. Eli Hayah Dibor. And Moshe Rabbeinu was stressing that now that connection, that communication between Hashem and myself was a lie, that it was fully restored to the original, very special, very close, particularly direct communication that it had prior to the sin of the Meraglim. And so indeed, the fact that this special closeness of Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu was restored is another very great reason to celebrate the 15th of Av. Mar provides another reason. Ulam Ravlu says, we also celebrate the 15th of Av, for it was Yom Shebitel Bo Hoshea ben Ela Pardesos Shehoshiv Yerava Maladrachim Shelo Yalu Yisrael Regel. It was on this day that Hoshea ben Ela, who was the last king of Yisrael, meaning the region of Yisrael as opposed to Yehuda, Yisrael consisted of the 10 tribes other than Yehuda and Binyamin, in the time of Yeravam and Nevat, Yisrael broke away from Yehuda, meaning Yehuda and Binyamin. Now the Beis HaMikdash was in the region of Yehuda. And Rebbe Nevat wanted to discourage the 10 other tribes, Yisrael, from being Ola Ragel, from making the pilgrimage to the Beis HaMikdash on the Yom Tovim. So he had set up Pardesos, he set up like guards to block the roads leading to the Beis HaMikdash. And instead he supplied Avodah Zarah, he set up golden calves in Dan and Beisel. Hoshea ben Ela, who was the last king to rule over Yisrael before they were exiled, although he was not the great king either, he did plenty of bad things, things that were evil in the eyes of Hashem, but he did remove these pardesos, these soldiers who blocked the way to the Beis HaMikdash. He gave people a choice of how they want to worship. It says, Ulo, this happened on the 15th of Av, which is therefore another reason to celebrate this day. The Gemara gives another reason of Masna Amar, Yom Shenitnu Haruge Beitar Likvura. Another positive thing happened on the 15th of Av, in that the slain of Beitar were massacred after Bar Kokhba's attempted revolt. It wasn't enough that the people of Beitar were massacred, they weren't allowed to be buried. And there they remained for many years. Miraculously, the bodies did not decompose. And eventually, on the 15th of Av, they were given permission to be buried. Amar of Masna. Rav Masna said further about this, that Osu Hayom Shenitnu Aruge Beitar Likvura. On that day, when the people, the slain of Beitar, were granted permission to be buried, Tiknu B'Yavna Hatov HaMetiv. The sages of Yavna instituted a fourth bracha for Birchas HaMazon. Originally, it consisted only of three blessings. They added a fourth blessing, which contains this language of Tov and Metiv. It's like this double expression of thanks for Hashem's goodness. And specifically here, it refers to that Hatov, we say Hatov for Shelo Esrichu. We give thanks that Hashem made a miracle, that the bodies did not decompose. We have Metiv, and we say Hashem is the Metiv. He gives good Shenitznu Likfura. To thank Hashem that on this day they were given the right to be buried. The Gemara provides one more reason. Rabbi Rav Yosef, Damri Tarvayhu, Rabbi Rav Yosef explained, we also celebrate the 15th of Av because this was Yom Sheposkin Bo Milichros Eitzim Limaracha. Because this day marked the completion of the process of cutting down wood to provide wood for the pyre, the Maracha, that was stacked up on the Mizbeach for the Korbanos, and the wood had to be nice and dry, could not be moist, and so they only cut the wood during the hottest part of the summer, when it would be most dry. And since, as the Brisa will explain, the sun's heat started to wane by the 15th of Av, they would no longer continue chopping down the wood for the Mizbeach, for the Maracha, and so this day marked the completion of this mitzvah. So to celebrate the completion of the mitzvah is like a siyum. Therefore, it was cause for celebration. The Gemara brings a brayso, and this Tani the brayso says, "Rabbi Eliezer Agadolomer, kiven sheyagia chamishas abav." Once the 15th of Av arrived, Tashesh kocha shulchama, the sun's strength did weaken. V'lohayu karsenetsim lamaracha, therefore they would no longer chop down the trees for the maracha, for the pile of wood on the mizbeach. Amar of Menashe, adds, "V'karu le yom tivar magel." They called this day the day of the breaking of the axe. They would go and break the axes to express their joy that they were finished this work, they completed the mitzvah, so that made it another day to be a Yom Tov. And the Gemara says, Mikan ve'elech, from then onwards, from the 15th of Av and onwards, when the day starts getting shorter, nighttime starts getting longer, the Mosif Yosif, when he adjusts his schedule accordingly, and adds more hours in the night where he learns Torah, and then Yosef, if he adds more learning time, you know, to make sure he's still getting the maximum amount that he can learn in the night also, now that the night is longer, and he will add longer life for himself. She'ena Mosef, when he does not adjust himself, and you know, starts learning less because there's less time in the day, Yosef, then Yosef, Ma Yosef, what does it mean Yosef? Tani of Yosef, Tik Berei Yimei. His mother will bury him, he'll lose life, he'll could die prematurely. So meaning the language of Yosef here is a language of dying. So meaning that if one applies himself to learning, that you know, adds to his life, but if a person does not make any effort to put in time to learn, that could shorten his life. The Gemara now brings a brisa that mentions people that lived a very long time. The Rishbam suggests it's possible a connection to the previous Gemara. This brisa says that why do these people live so long? Because of the merit of learning Torah. Already 98, so their lives overlapped. Yaakov raised Shem. Yaakov Avinu saw Shem. When Shem died at the age of 600, Yaakov Avinu was 50 years old. Of course, we know the famous Chazal that Yaakov Avinu learned in the yeshiva of Shem and Aver. So he had contact with Shem. Their lives overlapped. And then Amram raised Yaakov. Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, saw Yaakov. Their lives overlapped. Rishbam says this makes sense, because we know Yaakov Avinu spent 17 years in Mitzrayim, and Kehas, who was from the original people that went down to Mitzrayim, his firstborn was Amram. So it is indeed very likely that Amram saw Yaakov Avinu. Next is Achia Shiloni Ra Es Amram. Achia Shiloni was a Navi in the time of Yeravam and Nevat, also lived an incredibly long life. He saw Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is known through tradition. And Eliyahu Ra Es Achia Shiloni. Eliyahu Navi saw Achia Shiloni. Their lives overlapped. And as far as Eliyahu and Navi, Vadain Kayim, we have tradition that Eliyahu Navi is still alive. He never died. Hence, the lives of these seven individuals span the history of the world. The more questions one of the things we said. We asks, V'achia Shiloni Ra'as Amram. Could it be that Achia Shiloni, we mentioned, was a Navi all the way later in Malachim Aleph, the time of Yeravam ben Nevat? Could it be that he really saw Amram, which obviously means that it's saying Achia Shiloni was from the people who left Mitzrayim, but I, V'haksiv, the Pasuk says, V'lo nosar mehem ish ki im kolev ben Yefune v'Yoshua ben Nun. Torah says that as a result of the sin of the Meraglim, an entire generation of men died in the Midbar, and no one, the Pasuk says, was left from that generation except for Kalev and Yoshua. So according to this statement, how could it be that Achia Shiloni left Mitzrayim and then survived and ended up being a Navi in the time of Yeravam ben Nevat? The Gemara answers, Amrav Hamnuna lo nigzera gzera al shifto shel Levi. The answer is that the gzera that all the people, because of the sin of Meraglim, are going to die in the Midbar, never applied to the Shevet of Levi. Achia Shiloni was from Levi. And the above pasuk was only referring to those men who, like, otherwise would have been included in the decree. Like, Yishun Kalev were exceptions to that decree, even though they were the age, you know, in the Shevet that the decree would have applied to, but they were exempted from the decree because they had remained steadfast and righteous the whole time. The Gemara proves that the decree never applied to Shevet Levi. Dichsiv, as the pasuk there in Shalach says, when Hashem related the decree as punishment for the sin of the Meraglim and that whole generation, Hashem said, "Bamidbar hazeh yiplu figureichem v'chol pigudeichem l'chol misparchem iben esrim shana v'mala." This midbar, your carcasses will drop, and all of your number and all of your counting is from 20 and above. All of those men will die in the midbar. The Gemara infers from this language that we see that the decree only applied mishapikudav mi ben esrim to the general population, where the halacha was you'd be counted for the purpose of being drafted into the army from the age of 20. So from this we learn, Yatza Shifto Shalevi Shepikudav Mi Ben Shloshim. This excludes the Shevet of Levi, who are not counted to be inducted for service in the Beis Hamikdash until the age of 30. So we see that Leviim, Shevet Levi, was never part of the decree to die in the Midbar. Apparently they weren't part of the sin, so they were not part of the decree. But the Gemara has a question, Umishar Shvatim Lo Ayel? Is there nobody else from any other Shevet who also managed to survive from leaving Mitzrayim to enter Eretz Yisrael, even those not from Shevet Levi? Mars says it seems there were, V'atanya, for it says in Ebraisa, Ya'ir ben Menashe, U'machir ben Menashe, Noldu b'mei Yaakov, Ya'ir and Machir, sons of Menashe, were born in the days of Yaakov Avinu, V'lo meisu achenichnesu Yisrael aretz, and they made it into Eretz Yisrael. They didn't die until after Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. How do we know? Shenemar, the pasuk in Yeshua says that in the battle with the city of Ai, Vayaku mehem anshe ha'ai kishloshim v'shisha ish, the people of Ai smote them, they struck down 36 men from Bnei Yisrael. And there's a question how to read these words, kishloshim v'shisha ish. It seems a bit of an unusual kind of a language, like 36 people. So there's a discussion about this means, V'tani, the Braisa says, shloshim v'shisha mamish, the first opinion says that we're to understand the pasuk literally 36 people died in the Milchama with Ai, the Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But Amar lo Rabbi Nechemiah, chinemar shloshim v'shisha, does it say simply that 36 people died? That's not what it says. V'alo lo nemar ela kishloshim v'shisha. It says like 36 people died. So Rabbi Nechemiah says, what does it mean? Ela ze ya'ir ben Menashe. Pasuk means that actually one person died, and that person was Ya'ir ben Menashe. And why does it describe Ya'ir ben Menashe as a person who was like 36? Because Sheshakul Keruba Shel Sanhedrin was on a level of greatness that he was the equivalent of a whole Sanhedrin of 36 judges. So the pasuk means that the great Ya'ir ben Menashe was killed in the battle. So clearly then, Ya'ir ben Menashe was somebody who had left Mitzrayim, was born in the days of Yaakov Avinu, and he came all the way to Eretz Yisrael, which is seemingly not like the pasuk statement that nobody other than Shevet Levi, as we said above, survived the decree on the generation of the Meraglim other than Yeshua and Kalev. The Gemara answers, Elam Ravacha bar Yaakov, lo nigzra gzera lo al pachas mi ben esrim, lo yeser mi ben shishim. We know that the gzera, that the men were to die in the Midbar, did not apply to those men under the age of 20. Says Ravacha bar Yaakov, it was also true, the decree did not apply to those over the age of 60. Says Rav Acha bar Yaakov, how do I know? Lo pachas mi ben esrim, didn't apply under 20 dechsiv, as the pasuk clearly says, mi ben esrim shana v'mala. That's explicit in the language of the decree, which was stated only for those 20 and up. Velo al yesrim mi ben shishim, it also did not apply to those above 60. How do we see this? He explains, Gomar v'mala v'mala me'erichin. We learn this through Gzeres Shava, connecting the term v'mala over here with the term v'mala that's stated in the passage that talks about the law of making an erich vow, which means a person says, I vow to donate the value of so-and-so, a person, to the Beis Hamikdash. The Torah explains that the amount that means practically has to give to the Beis Hamikdash depends on the subject's age and gender. There's certain fixed assigned values depending on age and gender. They'll determine how much he has to donate for that erech vow by connecting the passage of erechin. To our passage, we learn as follows. Mal halan. Just as in the case of erechin vows, the way it works is, yesmi ben shishim kepachos mi ben chaf. A man above 60 has a different status vis-a-vis erechin vows, just as is the case of a male below 20. he also has a lower erech value than a man who is between 20 and 60. Just as the Torah distinguishes between a man who is below 60 and a man above 60 by erech, and afkan yaser mi ben shishim kepachas mi ben esrim. So too over here, in Hashem's decree on the generation of the Meraglim, that anyone who is above 20 shall die in the Midbar, there's also a distinction between a man above 60 as opposed to a man below 60, just like the age of 20 is a threshold. So men above 60 were not part of the decree either. And Yair ben Menashe, of course, was way over 60 by Yetzias Mitzrayim, by the decree of the Meraglim, since we just said he was born in the days of Yaakov Avinu. So that's the answer. Yair ben Menashe made it to Eretz Yisrael, even though he left Mitzrayim, he was part of the generation of the Meraglim, because he was over 60, therefore the decree did not apply to him. I hope you've enjoyed the shiur. I wanted to thank all of those additional people who have recently dedicated shiurim for yard sites, for other causes, which attaches the schus of Torah learning of many people to a loved one, whether it's a person who is living or has passed on. It also provides essential support to ensure that we can see this project to completion until, God willing, the Siyum Hashas. I'm also very pleased to announce that Masechtas Erevin has become the Weinberger edition of Masechtas Erevin. Baba Basra has become the Abelson edition of Baba Basra, and Sanhedrin will be the Friedman edition of Masechtas Sanhedrin. These people have recognized the unique opportunity to dedicate an entire Masechta that is learned, that will be continued to learn by many people for years to come. And I have a lot of gratitude for those who have signed up to donate $1 per daf. Besides knowing that you are playing a critical role in the completion of this project, you will also receive 3 dedications for such commitments. So again, my deepest personal gratitude to those who have done so. We're going to be putting together a beautiful dedication, dedicating all of the learning of the month of Sivan, the month of Kabbalah Satara, for everybody who is able to commit $1 per daf for this year to join these special supporters of Torah who are acquiring for themselves a very significant portion in this unique project. Please visit realcleardaf.com/donate. Thank you so much.